Good evening. I invite you to open up your copy of God's Word to Judges chapter 6. A couple reasons I would like you to open up to this passage as we read. One is it's quite a lengthy passage, so I think it'll help us all follow along. And two, if you remember just a few weeks ago as I was reading, I made a few mistakes. So to keep me honest in your own heart and mind, follow along and hear God's word as you read it with me. When preaching through the book of Judges, I feel much like the writer to the Hebrews, of the book of Hebrews, where he said, I wish I could tell you more and more and more about what God has done in past. And I feel like that way a little bit as I'm preaching, because there's so much to say, but so little time to say it. But here tonight, we pick up this longer passage, and at first glance, as we read the book of Judges, we become discouraged. God's people fall again into sin, and God brings oppression upon them. But then God raises up a deliverer, a person who does his will and delivers the people of God. So as we read this, we're going to be reading starting in verse 11 through the end of the chapter. As we hear about Gideon's call to service. Gideon's call to service. This is God's word. Give it your attention. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, But I will be with you, and you will strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Do not depart from here until I come to you and bring my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat that he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, Take the meat and the unleavened cakes, put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, The Lord is Peace. To this day it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. That night the Lord said to him, Take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God, on top of the stronghold there here, with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah beside it cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said one to another, "Who has done this thing?" And after they had searched and inquired, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing." Then the men of the town said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it." But Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal? Or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down." Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he had broken down his altar. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying out a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and all the ground there was dew. Thus the reading of God's word. Let's ask God to bless the reading of it. Father, as we read your word in this story, we ask that you would teach us, you would mold us and shape us into the image of your Son. Lord, we pray that you would be working by your Spirit here tonight. As you were with Gideon, by your Spirit, be with us even now. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Like I said, these are difficult parts of Scripture to read. Particularly, what we didn't read prior to this is how wicked the people had become. The people of God had almost become unrecognizable. They become like the world. But these books, this book of Judges, is not just about the failures of God's people. More importantly, is about the unfailing God they serve. How God is faithful to his promises, and he is gracious despite all their sins, and he saves his people. And it's amazing how he uses broken and weak men and women to serve his purposes. He uses broken and weak men like you and me to bring about deliverance for people. You might be asking, how can the Lord use me? How can the Lord use me? I'm weak. The older I get, the weaker I realize I am. At times, I use reading glasses now. Tough to admit. Thankful with the iPad, I can make the print bigger. You know, you often think you're strong. I don't know about you, but there's something in particular in your life that you're pretty good at. You know, I really like jujitsu. And I remember as I was getting better at jujitsu, I said to my instructor, "You know what? I'm getting pretty good. Why don't you just bring it to me tonight? I just want to see how good I've gotten. And about 2 minutes in, I had tapped out 5 times, and I said, that's enough. It's enough. Enough of that. I realized how weak and unable I was. And I always thought, like, why am I even trying this anymore? How can I be important? Well, sometimes we feel like that in the household of God. We think we don't have gifts. We think we're weak and unusable. How can God use us in the kingdom? Well, here in this passage, as you see the call of Gideon, he's quite the ordinary man. Weak, sinful, and flawed. So let's jump into this passage tonight as we look at the call of Gideon to service. Let's look at the context of his call first, the context of his call. This is verses 1 through 10, which we didn't read. But just to give you a little bit of background on what's going on here. There was utter destruction in the land of Israel. Utter destruction. For 7 years, the Midianites had oppressed the people of God. Every time the crops would rise up, the Midianites would come in and take away the crops. The scripture described them like locusts coming in and devouring everything. And the people of God were forced into the hill country, into caves, where they collected food and hid away from the Midianites. Utter economic collapse, political strife, I'm sure, no one controlling the land, utter destruction. And it's in the midst of this that the people of God cry out. And the Lord sends a deliverer. Actually, no, he didn't. If you look at it, he didn't send a deliverer at first. He sends a prophet. He sends a prophet to preach to them. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of a loud bang in your house at night or something happened where you had to call the police. And when you called the police, you expected an officer to show up, someone that could give you protection. But what would have happened if when you called the police and Titus showed up? We all love Titus, but he's a pastor. He's not a police officer. That's kind of what the people of God, I'm sure, were thinking. Lord, we want a deliverer. We want a leader. We want a warrior. And here you send us a prophet to preach. And this is what the unnamed prophet brings in the message. Look at verses 8 through 10 of the preceding part of the chapter. I want you to notice the eyes and the you. The eyes and the you. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. See, the people of God wanted relief from their circumstances. But they didn't really recognize the heart of the problem. Their problem wasn't economic security. There wasn't the fact that they had no food. It wasn't that they didn't have the right and proper political system. They didn't have the right leader. No. It was a spiritual problem. This oppression was because of a spiritual problem. They had turned their backs on God. In short, it was a you problem. And so God brought about oppression. And the people of God call out. You might believe that God's response was inappropriate. But I must say, oftentimes, when God brings grace into our lives, it's our response to that grace that is inappropriate. It's more than just needing immediate relief. Rather, it's understanding the idolatry of our hearts. And us as God's people, we're to bring that message to bear on our own hearts, but we're also called to bring that message to the world, the oppression of sin. The Lord instructs the people of God through this prophet not to just take away the discomfort, but help them to see with clarity what's going on in their lives. God is gracious about bringing about His Word and bringing His Word to bear on the Word of us, on our lives. And He does that through preaching and teaching and counseling. So that sermon was like saying, I've been faithful to you, yet you have not been faithful to me. And that sin leads to destruction. Remember in Ephesians, Paul says, all sin makes us liable for the wrath of God. But he goes on to say, but God is rich in mercy because of his great love for us. That while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he has made us alive in Christ Jesus. Through grace, you've been saved. So this is the context of Gideon's ministry. So people are deceived, thinking that the problem is economic or political, but the reality is that it's sin. So here we pick up the story in verses 11 through 24, and we see the Lord's promise to equip you for service. The Lord promises to equip you for service. And to do that, we need to understand who we are and who God is. With all those strong problems that we face, the world is strong, wickedness abounds. How could the Lord use me, Gideon, or you, Jason? How could the Lord use something so weak as the church of Jesus Christ? And that's kind of what Gideon asks right here. So let's look at him. Gideon is now, we pick up with Gideon. He's up in the wine vat doing the grain, pressing out the grain. Right? In the fields, you would do it. You would separate the wheat from the chaff. You would throw up the grain in the air and it would separate. But my guess is that cloud, or they couldn't be exposed, because then the enemy of God, the Midianites, would come in and take it from them. It could not work in the open. And so we see here, Gideon's quite weak, right? He's hiding. Gideon wasn't chosen because of his righteousness or strength. It's actually precisely the opposite. He was an idolater, as we learned later on in the passage. He was kind of a coward, didn't want to go into battle. But here, what does he say? What does God say to them? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, mighty man. Then Gideon says, if you're with us, times have been pretty tough around here. I don't understand what's going on. If you're with us, why haven't you delivered us yet? All the more reason to understand the sermon was given by the prophet, that the problem is a spiritual problem. And so God tells Gideon to go and deliver the people of God from these fierce enemies. And then Gideon responds, what about me? Me? How could you use me? How can I save Israel? Look at verse 15. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Clearly, Gideon was not a strong man. He understood that his clan was weak. He comes from a weak family, and he's the weakest in his own house. I think this is where the lesson for Gideon really begins. He understood how weak, how unable for the task he really was. Some humility here. So I think that's the first thing we have to understand, who we are. We are, in fact, weak people. And then the story continues. The Lord responds with the instruction, I will be with you. But I will be with you. The Lord is promising to be with him. He would be his strength, and he would give him the sign by taking this offering that he placed on the rock and causing it to burst into flames. And then I think the light bulb really goes on for Gideon. He understands that he has been in the presence of Almighty God. Some would say a theophany. The light bulb goes on. And the message is clear. It's not about you. How could God use you? Because it's not about you. It's about who he is. and how He promises to be with you in your service for the kingdom. Church of Jesus Christ, we have an awesome task. We have the task to go into all the world and bring the gospel to people. And you may be weak. In fact, you are weak. We are weak. But verse 16 tells us, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you wherever you go. Everything is supplied in that statement. The Lord is with you. Like Gideon, you've been given this difficult task to speak the truth into a dark world. And you've been given a book. A book full of the promises of God. But you've been given much more than that. You've been equipped with the presence of Almighty God. Remember what Jesus said? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. But I will be with you always, even to the end of this age. Gideon is filled with terror as he's been faced with the face to face with God. And verse 23 speaks a word. God speaks a word of peace to him. So what did God do next? Now that he's called Gideon, he said, I will be with you wherever you go as you go into battle. What does he do next? Does he call him out and go, OK, go ahead, take the army and go? No. He comes to our next point. The Lord is calling you to tear down your idols. The Lord is calling you to tear down your idols. A call to personal reformation so that you might serve. Verses 25 through 32. The Lord called for change in Gideon's life. And Gideon, out of fear, at night, goes up and tears down the altars of Baal. But that didn't help, did it? Because the next morning, the altars are down and people are wondering what happened here. Let's find out who did this. Reminds me of the story I've been studying for my church history exam. And I was reading about Boniface. He was a missionary that went into the Germanic tribes preaching the gospel. And one of the tribes had a tree there. It was called the Thundering Tree. And one of the things that Boniface did is he went and he took an axe to that tree. Took an axe to that tree and knocked it down. He said, if this is a real God, let him contend for himself. And then through that message, because he didn't contend for himself, the people of Germania were brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the same way here, Joash, Gideon's father, says the same thing. If Baal is real, let him contend for himself. So Gideon's called to build an altar and tear down another. People of God, an altar to the Lord and an altar to Baal cannot coexist. There is no peaceful coexistence in our society, and it doesn't exist in your heart either, because one will rule. We often hang on to our past life, just trying to enjoy a little bit more of it, get a little more pleasure, and still try to serve the Lord. See, for service to the Lord calls for us to change, to make our allegiance to Christ known. Davis, the commentator, says it this way. I thought it was kind of neat concerning Gideon. Often doesn't require heroism, but it requires simple faithfulness. Simple faithfulness. Just doing what the Lord calls you to do. You may be thinking, how can I be used by God? I want to be used by God, but I'm not seeing fruit. But maybe it's we need to cut down the altars to Baal in our lives. The things we're holding on to. Maybe we're serving two masters. Like a cut that's full of infection and dirt. It needs to be cleaned out before it can heal. So break down those altars. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. If you want fruitful service for the kingdom of Christ, you must tear down the altars to Baal. Let's move us on to our last and final point. The Lord is gracious and merciful in your weakness of service. The Lord is merciful and gracious, even in your weakness of service. Verses 33 through the end of the chapter. See, these armies gather together to come to war with God's people. But Gideon, as it says here, he's clothed in the Spirit of God. What better armor to have, right? Clothed in the Spirit of God. The trumpets sounded. But then Gideon's confidence appears to waver. Even after all he's seen, after he's been face to face with God, you see the weakness of Gideon. See, verse 36 is pretty instructive for us. See, it appears that God's word was not enough, and Gideon asked for another sign. More like a magic trick. Make the fleece wet, make it not wet, make the ground wet, not wet. Kind of like a little magic trick. If you show me, I'll believe. We often misrepresent this story, thinking that it's some kind of a special way of gaining God's knowledge for our lives, putting out the fleece. There's some truth to some of that, but I really think here, what we see here is Gideon wavering in his faith. Look at verse 36. If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. See, Gideon recognized that the Lord said that he would use him. But yet Gideon's looking for another sign. He didn't trust the word of God. But even in his weakness, God condescends to him. And he makes the fleece wet and the land dry. And then he makes the fleece dry and the ground wet. See, the Lord is gracious. He does condescend. He stoops down to reassure us in our weakness and our fears. He condescends and strengthens us in our delicate faith in his word. Thanks be to God that he meets with us in our weakness. The reality is that God could have cast aside Gideon, found some better material to work with, but he did not. It's another example of God's grace. Even here in the Old Testament, as some people believe, doesn't exist. God is gracious and condescending to his people. He's gracious in our failings. How many times have you failed in the last 24 hours? How many times have you become discouraged? You're getting discouraged. Why am I not responding to God's call in my life? Why am I not obeying him? I get weary in doing good. Tired of putting up the fight. How could God use me? Weak me. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom does not grow because of the material with which God is using. The kingdom grows because of God and his Spirit through the blood of his beloved Son. And he uses weak vessels like us. It's not because of us. It's because of him. If you're here tonight and you have not experienced this grace of God, you've been confronted by the face of God tonight and you are not at peace with him. Scriptures teach us that all of us have sinned. All of us. Every one of us. We've disobeyed God. And our sin separates us from God, the God who has created us. But tonight, by the authority of God's holy word, I declare to you that God is full of mercy and grace for those who humble themselves before him. And through the blood of Christ, you may be at peace with him. For you that are in Christ, to continue on in weakness of faith, the Lord is merciful to you. He condescends in your need and your weakness. People of God, this is good news for you and me tonight. God is gracious. There's nothing special about Gideon. He's quite the ordinary man. Weak, sinful. But how the Lord used him to advance his kingdom. I look forward to seeing what God will do through this congregation, through the College Hill Reformed Church. Not because of you, because what the Lord will do through you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Gideon. That was an ordinary man, and you used him. Father, as you call us to service, we pray that you would strengthen us by your Spirit. You promise to be with us wherever we go. Lord, give us that power to go out and do the small things in our lives well. And Lord, also to preach the gospel. Father, we thank you for loving us through your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.